Good evening, class. We're about to begin the second part of this lesson. If you in your book, just go on to the, I call it lesson 10, but don't try to govern your notes by my lesson. It's strange fire offered by Nadab and Abihu. If you look in your, maybe it might be in the context, but it's still in the continuing part of instances of rebellion. And we're dealing with Nadab and Abihu. They were sons of Aaron, and Aaron was the priest at that time. He was with Moses. Matter of fact, Aaron was Moses' brother, and Moses had a sister also. And so now God ordained Aaron. You see, if you back up and read the ninth chapter of Leviticus, God ordained Aaron as priest. And during the ordination, because of Aaron's family, he used the Levites to govern the priesthood. All the holy things of God were operated through Aaron and his son, to his family. And God went through the ordination process. I think if you back up a few more chapters, you'll see where God ordained Aaron and his sons, and how God did the ordination service and the whole thing. And God offered, Aaron had to offer sacrifice for himself before he offered sacrifice for the people. And so it began with the lesson. There was strange fire that was ordered, but it wasn't ordered by God. But it was offered by Nadab and Abihu. Strange fire. And we're about to define it in a little bit, what strange fire is. So let's begin reading the book right under this caption here. Follow close, because I'm going to stay close with the book class. Every now and then, like you say, I go off to try to explain, make the point a little clearer, because that I see it. When I see it a certain way, I have to be able to expound it to you the way I see it, because it makes it more vivid to me, and I believe it may be on the other end, make it more vivid to you, because it's hard to see some things, you know, from looking at the value of what you read. They say, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took each of them his censer and put fire therein and laid incense thereon and offered strange fire before Jehovah, which he had not commanded them. So this almost defined what strange fire is. He said, offer strange fire before Jehovah. Then the second part of that verse here, which he had not commanded. So you can almost establish that strange fire is anything that God has not commanded. It don't have to be the Leviticus priest offering it. Sometimes we can offer things to God that God never even commanded or put his approval on, and we call that strange fire. I want you to look back over your life, your ministry, your service to your spiritual leaders, and think about, have I ever offered strange fire before my spiritual leader? Doing things that God had never ordered, or my spiritual leader never ordered or commanded me to do or asked me to do. And I just did some things on my own, and now I want God to bless it. Well, sometimes it's good to think about things like that. I had to go over my own history to think about it. Was I ever functioning in strange fire? And come to my amazement, some things I did. Some things I did thinking it was God's will, and it wasn't. It was, and the whole lesson on self-will began from the creation even to this day, from the fall. It started with the fall of Adam and Eve, even to this day. The principle of self-will is established in the earth, and it's man's will against God's will. And it's the hardest thing for man to break. Man's will. Man's will. You see, and only the Holy Ghost can allow you to separate your will from God's will. Jesus talked about it all the time in the scriptures. And maybe we get some time before this class is over with to look at some of the things Jesus talked about regarding self-will. We talked about already in Ezekiel, and we talked about Isaiah. We talked about the fall of Satan. Satan kept saying, I will send my throne above God's throne. And so we see that self-will is a satanic principle. But over here, Nadab and Abihu got themselves into another position that God totally refused to accept. Something God not going to even accept. You know what the scripture talk about? The good will, the perfect will, Romans 12 and 1. The good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will of God. Well, there's a will we're about to see here that's totally unacceptable to God. And we find out that coming against that sometimes result in debt. Now, it may not be physical debt like Nadab and Abihu experienced, but debt can come in so many forms, so many ways. Debt. Sometimes people walk around with a lot of dead things in their life. You know, their ministry dead. And they're wondering why. You see? So we're going to try to uncover some things right here that can help us to understand why we're not supposed to offer strange fire in our life, in our ministry, or any other way. All right? So, and there came forth, I need to read again. And they offered strange fire before Jehovah, which he had not commanded them. And there came forth fire from before Jehovah and devoured the sacrifice. No, it did not. It devoured them, and they died before Jehovah. Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. So we see that this small, seemingly small error that they made, caused them their very life. You know, and I see things in scripture sometimes. In our own understanding, just like Noah, we talked about Noah in our last lesson, and his two sons that covered his nakedness, but the one son, Ham, that disregarded his father's authority and totally neglected to reverence his authority, and he found out that he was in a rebellious state. Well, it seemed like it's such a small thing. In Genesis 9, 20 to 27. It almost seemed like a small thing in Leviticus 10, 1 and 2. But when you come to spiritual matters, what spiritual matter? Wow, listen to this. The matter of authority. See, then you begin to touch, listen to this, my Claire. You begin to touch upon the sovereignty of God. Oh, my goodness. Even though God is full of grace and full of mercy, but his sovereignty, God will not let anyone touch. I'm God, and beside me there's no other. That's God's sovereignty. And once you begin to see God's sovereignty, it puts you in a place of fear and trembling before God. Are you with me, class? You begin to reverence everything about God. And the slightest, this way you want to get, the slightest place of disobedience, oh my goodness, you almost fear and tremble behind the slightest word of disobedience, the slightest thought of disobedience. You begin to get in fear and trembling when you get to understanding the sovereignty of God and God's authority, who he is, who he represents. Nobody greater than him. Nobody can stand beside him. Nobody can dictate to God. Nobody can lead God. Nobody can even touch God when it comes to his will. Now, certain things God may permit, and certain things he'll judge instantly. And certain things he used as an example. If you read the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that we'll find out that God used some of these things as examples for us. So we won't do likewise. That's grace and mercy. You see it? Thank God for grace. Because if it wasn't for grace, the ground will still be cleaving open. And people will fall in by the thousand. And the ground will close itself back up. Oh my goodness. If it wasn't for grace, for Elijah stood on the hill and called fire down from heaven, and it devoured 50 men. And then they devoured another 50 men in their captain. See, but grace and mercy took care of them. What I'm saying, class, we don't see those things today as we should, because God's grace, thank God for Jesus, God's grace and mercy give us space to repent. And in that space to repent, because of grace, what grace did, we need to know that we erred. And need to add it up, that we erred and repent when we make a mistake. And not just shove it off as some little overlook. I overlooked that. No, you got to get it right. You got to get it right. And so here's the question. Why did Nadab and Abihu, why were they burned? Why were they burned? We're going to find that out in a little while. Back to your book, lad. They served as priests, yet not because they were personally right, but because they belonged to the family which God had chosen. We said that earlier. God chose the Levites, the family of Moses, to be Lord or to be governors of the holy things of God, the sacrifice, the temple, and all the things in the temple and around the temple, and the putting up of the setting up of the temple, the taking down of the temple, the cleansing of the utensils of the temple. That everything was holy unto God, and he had a certain way he did everything, even when it came to the sacrifice, the washing of the sacrifice, the placement of the sacrifice upon the altar, and made sure the candlestick was lit 24 hours a day, could not let them go out. That was priests. All they did was make sure that the candle would not go out, that they would burn all night. And God expected to happen just like he said it was supposed to happen. So God has a way of doing things and a manner of doing things that deal with his sovereignty, and he will not let man change it. And so that's why he had to be so precise in what he does. You see, if you're going to follow and serve God, you cannot serve God independently. Now listen to this. God has set Aaron to be priest, and the anointing oil was poured upon his head. In all matters of service, Aaron was the chief. His son was only, now people don't like this word. The son was only helpers. See, but that's what they are. That's what we are. Even as instructors in this school, I make myself a nothing. I'm only a helper in the vision that God gave apostle. And my job is not to exalt myself. My job is not to make myself some great person. My job is only to help what he's doing come to pass. You see, it's all about God, all about what he wants. It's all about recognizing that you call to help. You see it? We call ourselves behind the scene workers. We don't have to be out front. See it? I learned to be a servant, and I learned to serve from a long time ago. And once you learn your place of serving, you don't let nobody else pull you out of it. Don't let nobody else. Do you get offered? Yeah, I get offered. I went to a funeral where one of my brothers passed, and I preached my brother's funeral. And the church, he was pastoring the church. And the lady walked up to me. Now, she was there, and she was kind of overseeing the church because it was kind of like a family church. And she said, after the funeral, she said, Brother Ronald, we want you to be our next pastor. You know what I thought? I said, you pastor it. And I walked away. Now, what I'm saying, I ain't going to let nobody pull me off what God called me to do. You see, no people, no person, no committee, or no anything. If there was a work to do, be done but me, apart from what I'm doing now, my apostle had to send me. See, people in church don't want to hear that. My apostle would have to send me. I'll be a sent one, not a went one. We heard that phrase before. I don't be a went one, W-E-N-T. I want to be a sent one. You see? So if my apostle make no move, we're going to find that out. I'm not to make no move. And people get stuck because Paul told Timothy, every man want their own thing. Nobody want the things of another. I studied that scripture, and I found out that I don't want my own thing. You see it? I ready to serve another man until God says something different. Now why? Now. God never meant to let the sons of Aaron serve independently. He placed them where? Under the authority of Aaron. He placed his son, what I say? Under the authority of Aaron. Now, look what else. 12 times, Aaron and his sons are mentioned in Leviticus 8. Aaron offers sacrifice with his son helping him at his side. What I say? Aaron offers sacrifice with his son assisting him at his side. Yeah, you're supposed to assist your spiritual leader. You see it? And you're going to find something else. Watch. If Aaron made no move, his son ought not to move. Think about that now. If your spiritual leader make no move, you ought to not make no move. If you're in a position like I was some years ago, you know, to maybe minister in an apostle position in his place when he was going out of town on a certain assignment or something, I would dare not say what he didn't say. And even if you say something, I realize certain things he's authorized to say that I can't say. And so what I did, I always say things supportively to what he said or supporting what he done. Never brought any new revelation out. It wasn't my job to bring new revelation out. I never believed in that we were supposed to do. I knew we wasn't supposed to do our own thing. I just knew that. And so he made no move, I make no move. You see, it can make your career long or with your spiritual leader, or you can shorten it by doing what Nadab and Abihu do. That's why I say sometimes death don't always mean a physical death. You can short circuit your life or your ministry or whatever God called you to do. You can short circuit it by offering strange fire, doing what you were never commanded to do, doing what you were not ordered to do. Are you with me? The plain and simple way to put this, stay in your place. You're a helper. Are you with me? And I always say, Lord, I want to be a help and not a hindrance. And I understand the ministry of help, that little four-letter word or five-letter word over in 1 Corinthians 12. It talks about the ministries. And then you got helps right in the middle of one. You see, that's where I want to stay, right in the middle, with helps. With help. Whatever he say, whatever God permit, whatever need to be done, that's what we do. That's what we do. Amen. All right. This, however, was exactly what Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, did. They thought they could offer sacrifice by themselves, and so they offered without Aaron's order. You know, I didn't say God's order. Without Adam's order. See, because Aaron represented Moses. Moses represented God. You see, Moses got his order from God. Moses gave his order to Aaron. And Aaron, so Aaron received his order from Moses. You see it? And that's the way it's supposed to be. I hear directly from God, me. Well, you sure much out of order. Not in another man's ministry. You see it? Not in another man's ministry, another woman's ministry. Now, let me make this statement here. They have watched their fathers offer the sacrifice. To them, it was rather simple. And so they assumed that they could do the same thing. Nadab and Abihu only thought of whether or not they were able to do the same. They failed to see who represented God's authority. God put me in a position one time. Apostle, a call, a mentor of help meeting. And I was one of the instructors in the Ministry of Health meeting. And God let me see something that I would not have been as clear if he had not done this thing. If not, would not have been as vivid to me what he did, you know. And, you know, sometimes we think we're so anointed. You know, we're so anointed. And, you know, sometimes some ministers think they can preach better than their leader. And so God did this. I'm talking about a number of years ago, not 20, not 30. It was long, early in the development of when God called me to minister. See, God did this early in ministry, so I would know early. You learn early. You don't make mistakes later. And so in this Ministry of Health meeting, Apostle, to my amazement, I would have thought I would have taught my class before him. But no, he teaches before me. And I got to come behind Apostle. Well, my God. See, people don't realize it. But he left the Holy Ghost. It was a blanket that I walk into of anointing that he left in that behind that podium. And when I walked there, God, I saw the vastness of his anointing. My goodness, I'll never forget it. I saw, what did I see? I felt so inadequate. You know, the scripture, not that we're sufficient by ourselves, think anything about ourselves, but our sufficient is of God. I understood that scripture a lot more then. When I walked there, there was an awness, like God was there. And guess what? I could hardly talk. I was overwhelmed by his anointing. And God said, I just want you to see. I just want you to experience that. Don't even think you're equal to him or his anointing. Don't even think. Sometimes people think they're just as anointed. No, God let me see long time ago that I wasn't even close to being equal to his anointing. You see it? Why? We just mere helpers. And you got to get that cross. So you're functioning the anointing that God give you. Yeah. Yeah. You function that anointing that God give you. And so I learned that a long time ago, you know, that my spiritual leader is my spiritual leader because he's walking in God's place. So what are you saying? You see, Moses was told by God, he said, you're going to be God unto Aaron. My goodness, it took me a long time to understand that. So, we're not being sacrilegious when I say this, not being irreverent to God, but our spiritual leaders become God to us. You see it? They speak the words of God to us. And if you don't see your spiritual leader like that, then you're missing it somewhere. You're missing it somewhere. And that's why these classes, this school, this apostolic, is so important to you, so you can fall in ranks, fall in line, fall in submission, wholeheartedly, not haphazardly, wholeheartedly, where God can minister to you, you see, in a special way. You're not going to receive if you think you already know, even in a school. If you think you know more than someone else as instructors, you're not going to receive what God wants you to receive if you think you're all that. So my point is receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. The Bible says you get a prophet reward. You see it? So if you don't receive him as a prophet, then you're not going to get the prophet reward. If you don't receive him as an apostle, you're not going to get the apostle reward. And you're not be able to walk in the apostolic. I remember apostles say, see, you're not an apostle, but you're in the apostolic. You see? You can be apostolic without being an apostle. Because you're functioning in the realm, I got it, of apostolic. Are you with me? Okay, I'm so glad you're with me. Now, service is initiated by God. Service is initiated by God. Now, we'll be fitting to go into another venture here in this lesson. We're stepping up a little bit that when God do service, it's got to be initiated. You see, Nadab and Abihu tried to initiate service to God. God said, I don't want that. Your job not to initiate. It's initiated by God and initiated by my God man. You see it? And the church, the world don't understand this. They don't know how to walk in it. Listen to this. Here we face the most serious problem, serving God and offering strange fire. They seem to be very much alike, and yet they are worlds apart. You see it? I'm going to say it again. Serving God, and offering strange fire seem to be very much alike, and yet they are worlds apart. You seem like you almost think you're doing service to God sometimes when it really strange fire. And I don't know how many people out there doing strange fire, thinking they're offering service to God. I'm almost afraid to say how many out there. I don't even want to even guess how many up there saying they thinking they're doing service to God when actually they're really offering strange fire. Now, Claire, this is so important. It's so important. It was important. See, so true service is initiated by God. Thank God for the apostolic. Say that with me. Thank God for the apostolic. And the apostolic is not to control you. You still can do what you want. But whether it's in God's will or not, that's another thing. See, that's between people and God. I'm going to do what I want. Well, that's fine. You do whatever you want. You know, a man walked up to me one time. It's because he was trying to find scripture to drink in the Bible. You know, we're trying to, because he think, you know, I mean my own house. I do what I want in my own house. I ain't like I'm exploiting myself. Just I'm not affecting nobody. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, you don't have to find scripture to prove that it's wrong to drink. I said, matter of fact, you can drink all you want. You see it? Sometimes people think they can't do what they want. Yeah, you can drink all you want. You can get drunk as you want. That's between you and God. You know? And I don't try to convince nobody certain things were right and certain things were wrong. So I leave that in God's hand and let God judge them when they start doing their action. Then they're going to have to meet God for themselves in that area. You see? People don't understand. You don't have to control people with the Bible. Try to tell them, the Bible said that's wrong. No. They can do what they want. You can run 10 women if you want. A man can run 10 women if he want. You want to convince them. I don't care how many wives and concubines David and them had. But that was David time and Solomon time. And you see, but this New Testament, one wife. This Paul told Timothy, a husband or one wife. Now, you can get more than one if you want. But that's between you and God. God's going to have to convict your heart about that. You see? My whole point is we don't have to prove the Bible. You see it? We don't live on the principle of right and wrong. We live by principle of Romans 8 and 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you don't be led by God's Spirit, you might not be a son. Because God's Spirit ain't going to lead you to have 10 women. And God's Spirit ain't going to lead you to get drunk and drink and do certain ungodly things. My thing was, it put another spirit upon you. I've got stuck on this. Sometimes people think, well, it's Christmas time. I'm going to take me a little drink. Well, take you 2 drinks. Take it 5. Take 10. But I know it puts another spirit upon you. It brings you out into the flesh and pulls you from under the blanket of the Spirit. And so that's between you, person and God. Now, I don't mean to get over and on that, but you brought it up. Amen. Now, let me go on. Strain 5. Let me back up. When man serves under God's authority, he is thereby accepted. What does that mean? When you serve under God, when you serve under God's authority, God's order, God's command, then God accepts whatever you do. God says, I ordered that. You are accepted because what you're doing, it becomes acceptable. You see it? Now, strange fire originate from man. I put in parentheses, self-will. You see it? It does not require knowing the will of God or obeying the authority of God. Class, these lessons are so important. Strange fire does not require knowing the will of God or obeying the authority of God. It's just doing because I think this is the right thing to do. It's just doing it because this seemed like it's a good idea to do it. Yeah, it's a good idea to do it. I remember once we had just built a new church, and boy, Miss Callum was putting stuff out in the foyer, you know, and we had our information table, you know, in the front. And you know, some people think it was a good thing. So some women decide that they're going to bring a whole bunch of mints and candy and stuff and just start putting it out there. You know, it seemed like a good thing. But nobody ordered that. Nobody said put all kind of stuff out in the foyer, candy and stuff for me. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a good thing. When you walk in the church, boy, you see some mints. You know, you grab a couple, put in your pockets or your purse, and then you go on about your business. It seemed like a good thing. But if it was not ordered, then it becomes strange fire. Somebody say, ooh, that's too technical. That. No. A little leaving the whole look. You see it? And people have to be trained to the point knowing that you just can't do things because it seemed like a good idea. It got to be something ordered. It got to, see, that have to come from authority. Whether we want to, whether we believe God wanted to put that out there. Everything had to be lined up and structured according to God's will and not self-will. I know it's a little side trip, but it's true anyway. It happened, and so they had to be get permission to do things. If you want to do something like that, check with your spiritual leader. So look, I was thinking, one, if it was a good idea to put certain things in the bathroom because, you know, I want to be a help. And check with them before you do anything. If they say okay, then you know you got a right to do it. You have privilege to do it. But don't just do it because you think it's a good idea. No, it has to be too. Now, it might sound like a little thing I'm saying, but all these things are important to God. You see, God's so detailed. So it has to be a certain way and do things right. Are you with me? So, anyway, I brought that up. Then you'll be serving. Then you serve to be accepted. It is wholly done through man's own zeal, and he ends up in debt. See, that's my point. It's done through man's zeal. And zeal is not a bad thing. Zeal is it's an excitement. And sometimes man just want to do things. Sometimes people just want to do things. Oh, it'd be nice if I could do this. Yeah, but get permission first. I hope I got that point through. Get permission first. All right. If it happens that our service and work becomes increasingly dead, it is time for us to ask for God's enlightenment as to whether we are serving in true principle of service or according to the principle of strange fire. I'm telling you, when you get out the will of God, it feel like somebody been pour cold water on you sometime. I don't know if you ever been there. I've been there. I got out the will of God and felt like Brother Higgins said all the time, felt like I was walking with wet socks in my shoes. It didn't feel good at all. I mean, I didn't like it. I had to get right back in the will of God. You know how I did that? Repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I got out of your will. And I got into self-will. Forgive me, Lord. Yep. And if I got any spiritual leader I need to go talk to, I get with them. So look, I didn't do that right. So back to Nadab. God's work is the coordination of authority. God always coordinates his work with authority. Listen at this. Nadab and Abihu work apart from Aaron. Hence, they work independent of God. You see? Now, Claire, I hope with everything we say, you begin to see what happened more with Nadab and Abihu. They didn't know they were working independent from God, and God had to judge that. The work of God must be coordinated under authority, and God wanted Nadab and Abihu to serve under Aaron's authority. Aaron made no move. It's so simple, class. People complicate it with self-will. If Adam made no move, we don't move. Our job is easy. You know all we do? Pray and obey. That's my MO. I pray and I obey. I don't have to figure nothing out. I don't have to do anything outside, wanting from outside the will of God. Because I pray, this is how we put pray, and I obey. And so when you understand what your responsibility is, then you don't get into strange fire. And what I say strange fire is doing things that God never ordered you to do. And so what you do, class, you pray and you obey. And so that's the way of staying in God's will and to stay always connected to authority and not trying to do your own thing. And not try to work independently of your spiritual leader and of God. The work of God must be coordinated under authority. God wanted Nadab and Abihu to serve under Aaron's authority. Notice in the New Testament, now this is good here, I'm going to close right here. Notice in the New Testament how Barnabas and Paul, see they were paired up together. You see, Paul, Timothy, you see, Peter, Mark, they worked together. Some were responsible while others were only helping. And you got to know your position. Even in those relationships with Paul and Silas. You see, Paul recognized Silas' authority, position. Silas recognized Paul's position. And so Paul became the spokesman. And a lot of times, Silas backed him up. And he submitted himself to Paul's leading. And so we're going to find out more and more as you read the scripture for how God coordinated and initiated his authority. Well, class, as far as I can go, you've been a good class, been a good listening class. And so we're going to take up from here next week or whenever we meet again. And I call you blessed in Jesus' name.